And as soon as you're seated, would you stand? Glory to God. Amen. I wonder how many times I've heard someone say, you know, I wish we had world peace. And it sounds so noble. But yet, perhaps there's no peace in their own life. Before there can be total peace in America, there has to be total peace in families. No division in workplaces. And the first words that Jesus said after he was raised from the dead was to his disciples, and he said, peace be unto you, because he recognized that so many people are troubled and they don't have peace. You know, you can have everything and not have peace. And you can have nothing and you can have peace. It's a precious commodity. Matthew 5 and 9, Jesus said in the Beatitudes, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Every one of us are peacemakers, not troublemakers, not causing division, but peacemakers. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 14. Follow peace with just the people you get along with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So peace is right alongside holiness. And then Romans, the 12th chapter, verse number 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Glory to God. You know, only God's power in us can live peaceably with all men, because there's always going to be some situation in our lives. I've experienced it, you've experienced it. Lord, we ask your blessing, your touch on your word tonight. God, allow us to have peace in our heart. This is a season of peace, but don't allow the season to end. Let it perpetuate in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. There are really only two messages preached in the church. Message number one, how to get saved. Message number two is how to stay saved. We preach more about how we can stay saved than how we can get saved, because most of us have heard it over and over again. So at the end of the preaching, there'll be a test as to which one was preached. I remember a phone call I got some years ago. It's quite a few years ago. I can still remember the tone of the person's voice. It was from a lady at the Racine Register of Deeds. She was angry at me. Didn't take long to figure out that she was not very happy at all. There are people like that. I had never talked to her or met her before. She knew I was a pastor, and I thought she'd maybe cut me some slack because of the position I'm in. That doesn't work anymore, you know. But with this authoritative voice, she said, Reverend, You didn't indicate on the marriage certificate that you mailed in the county nor the city in which the marriage was performed. Now, I may have done some wrong things in my life, you know, but I felt like a SWAT team was going to be sent out to my house, and I was going to be handcuffed and brought down to the city hall in order to fill out these forms. I was wondering if she wanted me to, you know, just give her the information over the phone. I wondered maybe we have to call all these people back and remarry these people because I didn't put the county in which, you know. But I must have been prayed up that morning. I remember it specifically. I said, I am so very sorry to inconvenience you. I can give you all this information, or I could even come down to the Register of Deeds right now and fill in the blanks that were left unfilled. And I will try to be better the next time. And thanks to my brilliant, profound, and anointed response, I single-handedly prevented World War III in Racine. Glory to God. I felt so good about myself. I was a peacemaker. And her attitude reversed, and she was transformed into a nice person. Maybe she had a bad day. Maybe she had a bad husband. Didn't like her marriage certificate, you know. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Who do you think you are, lady? You know? And we, it's within us, folks, to respond that way. There would have been a time that I would have given this woman a piece of my mind and then had less of my mind to work with. But I'm now on heavy medication quite a bit today, especially several large doses of the Holy Ghost. And it has had a serious effect on me. I'm really not myself. And that's a good thing that I'm not myself. In fact, I'm not sure if I ever want to be myself again. And God doesn't want you to be yourself anymore. He wants you to be somebody else. Paul said, I like the things I used to hate and hate the things I used to like. We're transformed. We have characteristics and attitudes as God did. So let me ask you, have you been your old self lately? You know, easily irritated, complaining, finding fault with others. Not my fault, yours. You know? How many know which type of message this is? Is this the stay safe kind of message? Well, if you have been your old self, maybe you need a new prescription, and we'll be opening the pharmacy at the altar later to get all you need in order to change from who you are to who you should be. My old self didn't have the same compassion and empathy for other people's feelings. Sometimes I wonder if God allows us to go through certain things, operations, problems, finances, in order to have empathy for somebody else who will later go through those same things. Otherwise, if life was just all smooth and no problems at all, maybe we couldn't have any compassion for people when they had problems, you know? My old self didn't have that, but once I got on the Jesus pill, I seem to feel everyone's hurts and everyone's feelings. Sometimes people don't want to be a part of a large church, especially because there's just too many hurts and too many situations, and I don't want to have to take on those situations. But can you imagine what Jesus goes through every day? And I found that I couldn't be agitated by others or their bad manners, and God had given me a peace that seemed to control my emotions. I've said this so many times before, the night I got the Holy Ghost, it was a Sunday night, and I had been going through all kinds of pressure with a business deal that I was involved in. And in fact, I went to the doctor because I was just so hypertensive, and he gave me, or he wanted to give me, some medication in order to, you know, calm me down, and I refused. But I remember that night, it came a peace over me that I never, ever experienced in my entire life. We had a little get-together after to celebrate this hard case, getting the Holy Ghost, and I remember sitting on the floor in my living room thinking, I don't care about tomorrow. I don't care about the problems. You can fix it or you can't fix it. It doesn't matter to me. I wonder if the three Hebrew children had that same peace about them, walking into the furnace thinking, hey, God, you know, you can do it or you can't. It doesn't matter to me. That's a wonderful place to be. Because we're not tearing our hair out or worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow. If you really trust God and know that He's in charge of every situation in your life, would you turn to John 14? John chapter 14, one of the greatest chapters in the entire Bible, and verse 27. Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He gives us peace. It's actually a gift from God. It's not something that's created when everything is going well in your life. Oh God, I don't know what are we going to do, God? You know, no. He's got tomorrow in His hands, and He can take care of you. Colossians, the third chapter. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 15. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. It's going to rule in my heart. I've said this so many times over the years that nobody can insult you without your permission. Nobody can aggravate you without your permission. If you sometimes have to just consider the source, what people are going through and why are they responding the way they are, and that's the time you need to pray for them. Some of the people that need to be saved more than anybody are those who are so irritated with life, they're ready for a change in their life. Philippians 4, very familiar scripture. Philippians 4, verse number 6, be careful for nothing. You know, worry and aggravation, it's like interest paid on a debt that you don't owe. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, that should have been worship and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts, your feelings, and your mind through Christ Jesus. What am I going to do? Oh, I don't know. Why don't you worship God? See if the peace that passes all understanding can rest upon you. And then if you go back to Isaiah, the 26th chapter, Isaiah 26 and verse number 3, it says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." You know, if we really trust God and understand how much he cares for us, how much he loves us, that he already knows what our needs are before we even ask or stress out, you know, then we can have perfect peace. So how do you know when your medication is wearing off? Here's another test. Pencils down. It is an open book test, which is nice. All God's tests are open book tests. You don't need to call somebody. You need to go right to the book and take a look at it. A little thing irritates you. You know your medication is wearing off. And you're just your old self again. It's hard to be nice to even normal people. You know your medication is wearing off. The peace is gone even when things are going good for you. You're still irritated. And then you know it's time for another heavy dose of the Holy Ghost, and you need to run to the altar. Run to a chair in your living room. Run to a place where you can get a hold of God and get that peace, because without it, life just isn't the same. Take a look at Jude. Verse 20. "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by flesh." So we find that it's our responsibility to keep ourselves in love with God. And the only way you can do that is keep in touch with God, keep in touch with the rest of the body. You see, the Holy Ghost not only gives us peace and power, but it causes us to have a compassion on those in and out of the church. As you see people walking by, you're wondering, how could they be reached by God? If we're so concerned about our own life and getting our own situation taken care of, we don't have any concern for those that are outside. Or you walk into church and see that there's somebody who's in need. They lost a loved one, they're sick, they have financial problems, there are family problems. There has to be a compassion within us that wants to relieve some of their hurt. The word peace is used 400 times in the Bible. Baptism is 26 times. So it tells us something, that God recognizes that we forfeit our peace by struggles and situations that are always going on in our life. It is defined in the Greek as an absence of war or hostility, freedom from quarrels or disagreements. Have you ever had that disagreement with somebody, whether it's somebody close or somebody that you hardly know, and it just ruins your entire day? You think about it, what should I have said? What should I have done? And it bothers you. But, you know, if you have the peace of God, you're going to respond the right way. Why is peace so important in the church? Because we can't do God's business without peace. We just can't. We can't get a hold of God if we're still agitated by something that's going on. Folks, you know, you see me up at this altar every time you walk into the church. I'm generally here an hour before the church service starts, and I want to get a hold of God because I want my mind cleared, you know, to be able to preach the Word of God, to minister to somebody else. And I feel that it is so important for us to do exactly the same thing, to get our minds cleared before the song service starts, to really be able to minister to somebody else. Let's go back to Ephesians, the fourth chapter, starting in verse number 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you or beg you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, how? In the bonds of peace. It's talking about the body of Christ and how we're supposed to respond. And if we respond with lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another, we're going to have church, folks. Amen. The devil wants to strip us of our unity, which in turn takes away our peace. I've never seen our country so torn apart in all of my life over a pandemic, over what to do about it, the things that change from time to time, and people taking different stands, and within families, they're torn apart. And the enemy of their soul is clapping his hands. When little divisions come to the church, no matter how little they may seem, it stops a move of God, it stops Bible studies, it stops our ministry to other people because of division, and it robs us of all of our peace. The main purpose for the ministry, and in fact all ministries, is to keep a good relationship with God so we can minister to each other, you know? And if we have a little skirmish, I wonder how many people have left because of unresolved feelings that they have. I can't be there, you know. And the main purpose of the saints is to keep a good conscience with God so they can minister to family and people outside of the church. Luke 6 and 19 says, "And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out and healed them all." Virtue left Jesus and healed them all. Virtue had something to do with the miraculous. Virtue means miraculous power. If you'll go to Daniel, Daniel chapter 7. And verse number 25. Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. "And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hands until the time and times and dividing of times." We're talking about the end times. These are the things that are going to happen in the end times. We're living in a time when the enemy wants to wear out the saints. And you can get more worn out with little skirmishes and problems in your life than you can working a 12-hour day. And the enemy wants to wear us out. Change the times of church. Now things aren't important any longer. And God's laws, God's concepts, precepts, and a dividing of our time, running to and fro, trying to do those things that aren't important anymore. The tyranny of the urgent, you know. I need to cut the grass, but my neighbor, well, I've never talked to him about God. But we won't see the miraculous without a great love for the person sitting next to you or the person sitting on the other side of the church. See, when we feel that way about everybody, when they were all in one mind and one accord, suddenly there was a power of God. And it takes a purposeful effort in order to be that way, and then God moves. I'm not speaking to problems here. I really believe that God wants to do greater things in our midst, but because we're so subject to all kinds of information that comes through the radios and the internet and all this, we can take on a mindset where there is a division even among us. So my advice to you tonight is to stay on your medication. A heavy dose of the Holy Ghost every 15 minutes would be good, you see. And then no matter what somebody says. So there was this lady in my office 45 years ago, Chris Etley. I still remember her name. Chris Etley, I talked to her about a Bible study, and she didn't want anything to do with it. And then she watched this movie on the rapture, and now all of a sudden she wanted more information. The preface was this: if I come to a Bible study, will I become like you? You know, I said, there's a possibility it could happen, you know. So finally, she came to my Bible study. She then felt like she needed to be in a church service. So she came on a Wednesday night, and during the offering, God filled her with the Holy Ghost in the pew. And, I mean, she was just so excited about God. And the next day, she comes to work. She worked in the mortgage department on the second floor, and my office was on the first floor in the insurance division. And she came down to tell everybody that she got the Holy Ghost, my secretary, everybody that was on my floor. And her boss was looking for her because there was a closing, and he came down. His name was Michael Dickert, and he came down, and he said, "Chris, where have you been?" And she looked at him and said, "Mike, I really love you." That's what the Holy Ghost does, folks. Just call the terrible name. "I really love you." That's the love of God, which passes all understanding. The peace of God. God, give me more peace. But I have to become a peacemaker in order to have peace. Oh, did you hear what happened to? You're not going to have peace in your life. You need a heavy dose of the Holy Ghost. And always take your medication with food. The Word of God. Put those two together. Oh, happy days. Oh, happy days. Because life is not just existing. It's enjoying every day. And with Jesus, you can enjoy every day. In the morning, it's, what do you have on the calendar, Jesus? Who do you want me to talk to, Jesus? Who can I minister to, Jesus? I heard somebody's having a hard time. What can I do in order to help them, Jesus? And all of a sudden, you are ministering the way God wants us to minister. And if you do this, you just won't be your old self anymore. You'll be a new you. Amen. I like the new me better than the old me. But the old me keeps wanting to come back. You know? Glory to God. That wasn't so painful. Amen. Would you stand with me? See, he gave us all of these scriptures to help us get through life. You know, I obeyed Acts 2 and 38, but then there has to be an application of all of the principles, the fruit of the Spirit in my life, you know. And you help me, and I help you. That's why the church gets together. We help each other. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you for being here tonight. The altar is open. Would you come?